Psalms 118. Let me go to the Lord, word of prayer, then we'll go through this. Lord, surely been good to us. Thank you for this day you have given us. I know it's been a long day, and some of us are pretty tired, and I know I'm a little tired. But Lord, that was a good time of fellowship, good time of giving you glory and praise, and be able to sing these songs. I just pray for your help, and use this for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to pick up here in Psalms 118 down to verse 10. The Bible says, "Old nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore in me that I may fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation." Here is the psalmist. Which one is it? I'm not 100% sure. It's somebody that kind of alludes to David, but I can't say 100% if it was David or another king that was here. But one thing we see is he talks about all these nations that are going against him, compasses surrounding him. He also talks about it as bees, right? And you think about bees as they would swarm and try to get around you and attack you. He describes about this being about all nations that are going against him. And what we see is their desire is to destroy him. Their desires destroy them. This could be a prophecy. I'm not 100% sure, but it could be a prophecy of one day. That's what the world is going to try to do, that Jesus Christ, when he comes back and sets up his earthly kingdom on this earth, when he comes back, all the nations be against Israel, against Jerusalem, to destroy her. And that's when he comes back, and then all nations will turn against him to try to take him and the reality is they are wiped out. But what we see is their goal is to remove him from the earth. Have you ever been in a trial where it seems like you have been in that situation where maybe all are against you or others are against you? Maybe families coming against you and attacking you, or those that are, I don't know, whoever is coming against you. What we can learn from these verses is where the psalmist pulled his strength. He didn't pull his strength from himself. He didn't look within and say, "I can do this," right? And again, you know, I'm not, we should have a say, you know what, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And the reality is this, you know, that you have to come to that place. You got to take a step forward. You got to do it. You got to be strong. But the key is what he says in the second part, "But in the name of the Lord," right? Verse 10, and verse 11, "But in the name of the Lord," verse 12, "For in the name of the Lord," verse 13, "But the Lord helped me," and verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and song," right? What we see is the psalmist is relying or having his strength in God. That's where his strength is. He wasn't looking at his problem. And because if he looked at his problem and dwelt on his problem, the truth of the matter is he would have probably failed. The psalmist would have never been able to write this psalm. Why? Because they would have destroyed him if he would have relied within and relied on himself. He didn't rely, he didn't worry about his problems, even though he recognized it, saw what was there. The reality is, even though they compassed him about and surrounded him, there was one place they didn't. Joe, that was up. Amen? And he could look to God and say, "Lord, I am relying on you in your strength." Folks, and what we see is he relied on God, and what was it? God helped him. He had faith. He believed that God would help him through this. And since he read this, we read this song, you know what we see? We see that he got the victory. You may be in a storm. You may be surrounded about. Can I tell you, you rely on the God of heaven, the one who loved you, died for you, rose again from the dead, one who gave you that promise he's coming back for you. Rely on his strength and he'll deliver you. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reading in the book of Daniel. When the king asked them to bow down before that idol that was there, you know, he said their faith was in God. They were like, "We know that God will deliver us." He says he's going to either deliver us by taking us out of the fire, or he's going to deliver us by calling us home. He says, either way, rest assured, we're not bowing down. God will take us home. What a victory. Amen. What a glorious thought when you think about it as a believer. Amen. There's people in this world saying, because their whole life is this life. And when they die, they have nothing else. They'll spend eternity in hell. As a believer, you think about when you and I die, we're in heaven. Amen. I mean, the problems that we're going through, they're all gone. The trials that we have, we have as believers, not saying that we look on death or looking forward to death. No, it's not that. It's not that we're looking forward to death. It's looking forward to who we're going to be with. It's with Jesus. Amen. And here it is. His strength was in the Lord. Look at what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, as a believer, I have eternal life, and I have it now. I have eternal life. Yes, my body is dying, and one day my body will die, but I have eternal life. Death is just my way to get to heaven. Amen? I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying I want to die today. I just know when I do, I'm with him. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. It says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition unto the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as... See that word? What's that next word? Such... as is common. Do you ever see, maybe it's been advertised on the internet, sometimes Fox News or other places, and what they'll show you something like this, right? I don't know if I have one. Oh, I do. It's not a dollar bill. But anyway, they'll show you something like this, right? This is a $5 bill, right? And what they'll tell you is, they'll say, you know, down in these numbers, if you have whatever, you know, that's there, you could have a $5 bill that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Or they try to get you to a penny, right? And you know what you have found? You don't have it. Amen? I don't have it. Amen? But the reality is this, you know, this $5 deal, even though the numbers may be different, it's common, right? It's just, it's common. It's going to happen. Those ones with those numbers are extremely rare. Extremely rare. You know what that means? Chances are you don't have it. I'm not going to have it. Well, when God says this is common, you know what that means? That means, Julianne, the trials that you go through in life is common. It's not saying that your trial is better or worse than someone else. But what it's saying is in life, it's common to have trials. It's common, Joe, for you to go through a trial, right? And it's the trials that you may go through. Now, it may be different than Julianne's, but the reality is you're going to have trials. We're all going to have trials. It's common, right? Don't think when you go through a trial that, why does God not like me? It's common. You're all going to get trials. That's life, right? You may say life's not fair. Well, then you got it. Life isn't fair. Amen? The reality is this. You're going to go through things. You may have a problem with something. Maybe you have some physical problem, mental. I don't know what you have. But the reality is you're not alone. You're not the only one. Amen? Here it is. It says it's common. But look what he says here. Common to man, but God is faithful. There's the key. You're going to go through it, but God is always faithful. You know what that means, Gene? God will help you through whatever problem you go through. And matter of fact, not only that, when you read this, this is really amazing. It says, He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You may think, I do not have the strength and I can't make it. God will make sure that you can, relying on His strength. And then what he says here, oh, I tell you, this verse is great. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. This is what God is saying. God is saying that the trials and tribulation that you go through life are common. Don't be surprised when you have them. And then God says this, hey, don't forget, I'm faithful. You know what that means? He's going to always be there. And he says, matter of fact, to make the things even feel better for you, I'm going to give you a door when you're in one of these common trials that you're going to have, that you have a way to escape. He's going to show you how to get out of it. Now, what happens is when the trial starts until when the trial ends, that door that comes there, the reality is this, it's God's doing something. He's building you. He's strengthening you. He's getting you stronger. But he's faithful the whole time through. He's faithful to keep his word. The psalmist has said, you know, all nations are going against me. I'm compassed about. It's like coming after me at bees. How am I going to get away from bees? You're not going to get away from these bees. It's like they're all over me. I don't know what to do. And he said, but in four straight verses, he said, but God, but God. But, and then he says, it's the Lord. Next time that you're in a trial, can I tell you the best thing to do is instead of looking around, start looking up. Amen. Finding a verse in the Bible like this one. I'm telling you, verse 13, I go to that verse quite a many times. Amen. Go to this verse. You know why? Because God's faithful. God will help me. God will strengthen me. God will help me to be delivered. Now go back here to the book of Psalms. Psalms 118. I'm telling you, that's a good verse. Good verse to underline. Memorize. At least remember where it's at, amen, so you can go to it. So back here to Psalms 118. So as the psalmist is saying this in verse 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Then he says this in verse 15 to 17. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You know what he's saying? God is giving us the victory. That's that verse most of us know. We may be able to quote it. I can do all things through Christ, which, see, you can quote it, right? You know what that means? That means you can do whatever trials or tribulations you come through. You can do it. But Joe, you can't do it on your own. Which strengtheneth me? It's through Christ. Amen? When you get to that place in your life and you stop trusting yourself, when you get saved, you're putting all your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. Amen? He saves you. But our life then, we walk by faith, right? It's not salvation because we already have salvation, eternal life. But you walk by faith. And the reality is this. Surrender. Trust Him. Trust Him with your life. Amen? Trust Him to help you. Stop saying, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Do you know when I keep on saying that, John? You know what happens to me? I fall. Amen? I can do this on my own. I can't do it on my own. I need God. Amen? And here is the psalmist is saying that God is the one that gives us the victory. He's the one that gives us the victory. And what is it? He's relying on the Lord. And then what is he doing? He's praising God. He's praising God. Do you know, you think about it, in our life, that's what we should do. We should get saved, live for God. Not that people will bring glory to you, right? That ultimately people see your life and bring glory to God. Let me give an example. I'll pick on her. Amen. She's a member, so I can pick on her now. Amen. But you think about Rachel. You know what I see? I see God using her life, right? God has worked in her life, is helping her to grow. And what I see is a young lady that is surrendered, that's trying to live for the Lord. But please don't miss it. I know that she had to do her part, right? But it's God working in her. She's allowing God to work in her. It's not glory to her, but it's glory to God. She surrendered, but God receives all the glory. That's what our life should be. I don't want you to look at me and say how great of a guy I am, because I'm not a great guy. Amen. I'm just an awesome guy. No, I meant... but I want you to see Jesus. Amen? I'm telling you, when I first started to preach, oh my, I would get so nervous. I hated public speaking. When I was growing up, I would have done anything other than public speaking. I would try to get out of public speaking. I despise public speaking. My face would turn red. I would get so scared and nervous, and I was a wreck. And then God called me to preach, and I was kind of like Moses, like, what are you doing? Amen. And don't misunderstand it. I didn't say that. But it was like in my mind, I was saying, I can't get in front of people. I still don't like getting in front of people. I don't. Do you know why I do it? Because I know that's what God called me. And yes, maybe I got a little comfortable and I'm able to do it. But I learned to rely on God. Amen. Do you know, this, it may be hard for you to imagine, but this is truthful. John, you know when I get ready and prepare a message, I come up here and say, Lord, I don't know how that's going to work. I do. I sit there and I just think, and it's like, Lord, I don't know. And Lord, I don't know examples to give to this. And Lord, I don't think this is, I just don't know. And then I preach a message. And then after the message, you come up to me and you shake my hand and say, preacher, thank you. That's the exact message I needed to hear. I was just talking about that, and like, praise the Lord. And most times, I hope all times, I have told you this: God is good. There you go. And you know why I tell you that? Because, John, it's not me. Amen? Because if it was me, you were me just sitting here and trying to, I would fall every time. I don't know what you need. God does. And when I'm saying that, don't misunderstand. When I'm saying that, it's more, what I'm trying to say is this: give Him the glory. It's not me. When you get something out of the message, can I tell you? God looked down, I think it was William Carey, that said one time that God looked down and said, I will take a man with no talents at all, that ultimately people will give glory to God through his preaching. I struggle. There's sometimes I struggle with words. You know that, right? I struggle with sometimes reading words that the truth is my daughter can read better than I can. There's words that she can spell that I don't even know if I can get a dictionary. I used to hate that, John, when they say, well, get a dictionary spell. I was like, ma'am, I don't even know how it starts. You want me to find a word in the dictionary? Well, can you tell me what it begins? Well, sound that. I don't know how. And that's truthful. Amen. I really didn't know. Folks, I want you to understand. I sit here and get the Bible, and there's some words I sit there. I'm like, I don't know. My reading comprehension, right? My reading comprehension was so low when I went to college before I got saved. Was so low. They put me in a special class before I got into college. If I didn't have math, I can't imagine what my SAT score would have been. It would have been so low. So again, I sit and read something, and it's like whatever I read, just gone. Anybody say, scratch your head. Folks, I'm telling you these things to tell you, it's God, amen? It's God that receives all the glory and praise. He deserves it all. When I was in 8th or 9th grade, my mom went to the school and told him, it says, hey, why did you pass my son? She's not here, she's in heaven. I hope she's in heaven. She did. She went to the school, Miss Alma, and said, why do you pass my son? She's talking to me. She said, because he can't read. No, I could read, but I struggled reading. And the teachers told, so this is another good reason why to go to homeschool. She said, your son is an athlete. He'll have nothing to worry about in life. He'll pass. He'll get through, right? And I passed, right? I didn't realize how bad I was until I got in college and I realized how bad it was. But that, what I'm trying to say is, it's God. God is the one that does it. God is good. Amen? And that's what the psalmist is saying, that I got the victory. And God, but it's God. He's giving praise to God. That's what we should do in our lives. Just give Him praise. Just thank Him. We live in a day and age where people aren't thankful anymore. It's sad. We should be so, so thankful. Look what the Bible says. I'm almost done. Over here to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17. Now, as you could tell, my reading is a lot better. When I went to University of West Virginia, they did work with me. And, you know, I think mine is sight reading. Is that what it would be, sight reading, instead of phonics? And so phonics, from my understanding, would be very good. Look over here to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, I'm almost done. In Luke chapter 17, about giving thanks and praise. Look what the Bible says here. In Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There was not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I want you to think about this story. Here it was, Jesus went to a certain place, and the leopards would always stay far away, right? They couldn't come into the town because of what they had. But they would stay far away. They were supposed to have something. They would say, unclean, unclean, because they didn't want you to get the leprosy. So as they went to a certain place that was here, next thing you know, there was Jesus way over there. And as Jesus is right over there, they cry out to the Lord, and the Lord told them to go to show thyself unto the priest. So here is these leopards. They start to go as they were going by faith, listening to the word of God. They looked down, they saw they didn't have leprosy anymore. So that one, the other 9 continued to go. Those Jewish people continued to go. The Samaritan that the Jewish people didn't like, but he was a Samaritan. That's why Jesus calls him a stranger. The Samaritan turns back, and as he turns back, he sees Jesus over there and gave him glory. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Do you see what he did? Because the Bible says he was from afar, right? Is that what it says in verse? What verse do we read at the beginning? Was it verse 12? Verse 12 at the end? John, what's that say at the verse 12 at the end?
There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off.
There you go. Stood afar off, right? Then you keep on looking at that, and you know what you see? You see a Samaritan that goes from afar to near to bow down at his knees and gives him glory. Isn't that what it says? It's down by his feet. Let me ask you, who was thankful? He turned around and gave God glory. God even told him, Jesus told him, he says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. The reality is this, being obedient, he could have just went. He was obedient. He was so thankful that he went from afar to near. And he knelt down before him. He was thankful. Can I tell you, you think about leprosy as a picture of sin, and it will separate you from your family, separate you from God. It will keep you outside. And can I tell you, Jesus came to die for you. Jesus came, he was the only one that could have healed those people of leprosy. And could I tell you, that's what he did. He came and healed you of your sin. The least we can do is, yes, praise him from afar, but willing to get closer to him and praise him. That's God's desire for your life as believers. that you get closer and closer to Jesus. Amen. And you just give him praise. And even Jesus himself said that this man came to give glory to God. That's what I want my life to be. The psalmist is saying this. And what is he saying? He says, yes, I'm going through all these trials, but God will deliver me. And what's he saying? That I'm going to give him praise. And we see this leper, the Bible says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Because giving him thanks from afar is not good enough. I want to come and thank the one who has saved me and cleansed me. I can do it from afar. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians that are happy to give God praise from afar, but they never want to get close. I don't want to be one that gives him praise from afar, but I want to get closer and closer to the one who saved my soul. How about you today? Is that your desire? Are you willing to give God the praise? Whatever trials that you go through, look to him. He'll be able to deliver and help you. And then when you see that God does, hey, don't stand from afar, amen? You just run over, amen? Get down and just give him praise and say, thou art worthy, amen? One day when we stand before him, we were talking in Sunday school, that we get those rewards. Can I tell you, one day we're going to take those crowns and cast them at his feet and say, thou art worthy. I'm not doing these things to get these crowns in heaven to walk around and say, look at me. No, no, no. I'm going to take these crowns and I'm going to cast them at thy feet and say, Lord, thou art worthy. Amen. He is worthy. This week, allow people to hear you give him praise. And when they say something to you, you could say, hey, give it all to God. For he is worthy. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message would help and bless him. Pray that it would be a reminder to us when we go through trials in life, and they're common to us, Lord, that we rely on you. And Lord, that you promise to deliver us and help us through them. And Lord, when you do, even through the trials, as we're still in the midst, allow us to be those to give you glory and praise. And Lord, allow us to be like that Samaritan, that we just move closer and closer to you. And one day we'll be standing or kneeling before you to give you praise in person. Help us to do that before we meet you, Lord, that we would spend time just giving you glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.